very much, worship team. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's in a name? Anybody recognize old Billy Boy? William? It's William Shakespeare. If you don't know who it is, I'm sure everybody knew. Honestly. What's in a name? Well, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's from the play Romeo and Juliet. And I don't want to go into that this morning too much, but Romeo was a Montague. He didn't have the right name. He didn't come from the right background, and he wasn't accepted. Names are important because they mean something. And in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, Jesus, God, changed believers' names. He changed Peter's name. It used to be Simon. Changed it to Peter, the rock. The rock which Jesus Christ would build his church. The revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Build his church. Abraham become Abraham, the father of the nations. Jacob became Israel after he wrestled with God. He was known as a cheat, as a deceiver. God not only changed his name, he changed his character. He became a contender for the faith. And the nation of Israel, the seed came. He tallied, he fought for God. God also reveals himself in his name. Each of God's names represents a different aspect of God's many faceted characters. Through God's name, we can focus on his different attributes and his characteristics. They help us to hone in, to comprehend, to understand as God continually reveals himself. Psalm 103, which I'd entitled Praise the Lord, not very original, but that's what it's all about, is actually paired with Psalm 104. There's not many dual psalms or paired psalms in the Psalms, but this is certainly one of them. And 104 focuses and hones in on the name of God, Elohim. God as creator, God as provider, and God as sustainer of all life. And we've sang about Creator God this morning. In Psalm 103, we have a wonderful opportunity to know God more. And actually, that is part of ICS's mission statement, that we would know him and know him more and make him known. Today the psalm starts with praising the Lord, and it finishes with praising the Lord. And that's what we've been doing this morning, and hopefully we'll carry on doing that today and throughout tomorrow. Because this is the way, as Christians, that we're to live, created to praise God. You will notice in Psalm 103 that the Lord is spelt in capital letters, and that means Yahweh. When the Lord is spelt in capitals in the Old Testament in Hebrew, it means Yahweh, and Yahweh is God as Savior, God as salvation, God as a covenant God that made a covenant with mankind, an everlasting covenant through the blood of the glorious Jesus Christ. It means Redeemer God. And Yahweh is also a very familiar passage in Exodus when it says, I am who I am. That's Yahweh. Or it could be translated, I will be what I have been. Eternal. God's glory, His majesty, His greatness. In these wonderful psalms, David penned this psalm when he was in his later years, when he was the autumn years life, when he'd been through many different experiences. This warrior king, this shepherd king, this king fell into adultery and murder and an everlasting feud within his family, a king that had to run from Saul, a spear chaser for years and years. This wonderful King David in the line penned this after all these various experiences of life, as he pondered, as he reflected upon God's faithfulness, how good and faithful He was. Why do you think we should praise the Lord? Well, He's certainly worthy, isn't He? He's certainly worthy. The problem is, if we don't praise the Lord, not only will these stones praise the Lord, but we will miss out. We will miss out. And many people, not people here today, many people who don't follow God as Lord and Savior, who has not yielded their lives to Him, end up falling and worshipping creation. It tells us in Romans 1, they either worship men or creation. And they exchanged the truth of about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And when that happens, all sorts of problems follow. All sorts of problems follow. Well, one reason, if we Christians do not praise God, that can happen for many reasons. And during our life, we would love to say, yes, I constantly praise God. Arrow, we fall short of the glory of God. And it happens, it's happened in my life, and I'm sure there's been times in your life and experience when we lose focus, when we lose perspective, when we have our eye on the problem and not on God. And King David's a great, and all the his brothers and the army were running away, and they looked at the size of Goliath. David said, Who is he compared to God? He's not a giant, he's a midget. He's not a drop in the bucket. But when we lose perspective, and we've all been there, and we all do it. Two inmates were looking out of a prison cell window. One saw stars and the other saw bars. One saw stars and the other saw bars. Our eye on the author and perfecter of our faith. Where is your focus today? Where is our focus this morning? Is it on God and His faithfulness to an unfaithful people? Or is it on problems? Is it on issues? I would encourage you this morning to look to Jesus, to pray. Because when we don't do that, we have a tendency to complain, murmur, to grumble. I'm sure we don't do that. During the late 80s, yes, when I was a younger man, I had the privilege of working in Melbourne, Australia. And I worked various jobs. I worked in Alfa Romeo, polishing cars. And I quickly realized they called us Brits out there pommies, as in pomegranates, because we go red like a pomegranate. And they'd all laugh at us. And very quickly, they called us a whinging pom. You Brits, you're always complaining. Oh, you know. And when I was in Australia, one thing I didn't do was complain. Trust me. Polishing cars for Alfa Romeo. They had a dealership for Lamborghini sports cars. I'd have done it for free. And I wasn't complaining. But the Brits have a reputation to be complainers. But I wasn't living over there long before I realized the Australians were just the same. Gin Aussies. And I've had the privilege to work and travel in many countries across the world. And it isn't just Brits and Aussies, fortunately. It seems something that includes all nationalities. And unfortunately, even us expats can be complainers, can be fault finders, can be grumblers, fall into that trap when we lose perspective. What is your experience this morning? Are you tired? Are you happy? Are you overwhelmed? Are you burdened? Are you sad? Are you remorseful? Are you indifferent? Are you a whinger? Are you a complainer? Are you fault-finding? Do not worry. I've got a great answer for you. It's found in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. High as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed, and he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. What? I don't want to spoil it. It's done. And I would really encourage you to meditate upon this, because there's no way I'm going to get through all of this morning in the time slot that I've got. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. You notice different translations will have different words for this, where it says my inmost being, and nobody can really agree what it means in the Hebrew, but we get the general idea. It is everything within me, my body, my spirit, my soul, my mind, my attitude, my strength. Every aspect of my being is to praise the Lord, praise his holy name. And why are we to praise him? well, get all his benefits. All of his benefits. He who forgives some of our sins. Sorry? All? No. All of them? He who forgives most of our sins. Can't hear you. All. All of them. Do we believe it, friends? How many times have you prayed more than once over the same sin? How many of you are carrying burdens and guilt from your youth? From sins that are under the blood? And I'm being serious this morning. You're absolved through the blood of the... You're absolved through the blood of the everlasting. No reason to carry that guilt. No reason. The Bible has many metaphors about the forgiveness of sin, so we understand it. We sang a couple this morning. In Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. So our guilt was as red as scarlet. But it is no, through the spilt red scarlet blood of our Redeemer and Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 38, it said, I put all your sins behind my back and I remember them no more. Do we believe it, friends? Further on, I am he who blots out your transgressions. This doesn't mean much to us today, but the ink that was written on parchment couldn't be blotted out. It couldn't be blotted out. Blotted them out. Hallelujah. Further on, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud. Chapter 44. And your sins as the morning mist. Have you seen the morning mist evaporate before your eyes? Have you seen it? Gone. That's what God has done with your sins and my sins. If we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, they've evaporated. And when you say to God, forgive me, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Because he not only forgives, he remembers them no more. You're innocent. You're absolved. You're free. Isn't that wonderful? Those who've been forgiven much, love much, because they get it. They comprehend. Micah chapter 7. You will tread our sins underfoot and all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will hurl them. Isn't this wonderful metaphors and pictures of what God has promised us and what he has done for us through the blood of the everlasting covenant? He doesn't forgive some of our sins. He doesn't forgive most of our sins. He forgives all of our sins. All of our sins that we've done, and we're going to do, and that's in the future. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. He heals us from our diseases. Now we know that the Psalms, they go in parallels. And I know this is correlated to salvation. But I truly believe God heals our diseases. He's done it in me. Should have been dead several times. Do it in my sister. So, how do we reconcile that? Well, God has healed the ultimate disease, death. He's crushed it under his foot. Death, oh death, where is your sting? And the Bible says to die is gain. And even in Scripture, in Hebrews, maybe a little out of context, but I claim it. The world wasn't always worthy of some people. I believe that God heals, and I truly believe God heals today. The reason I believe that is because the Bible tells us that. The New Testament tells us that. And Jesus is the same forever. He talks about Jesus being 12 o'clock. That there's no shadow of turning in him. It's a wonderful scripture. That he is 12 bells. He is midday. He is a wonderful God. And I've prayed for people. And I've seen people healed. Healed of cancer. Healed of terrible diseases. And I've prayed for people and they've gone to be with the Father. And it's all right with my soul. It will not stop me praying for people. And I think the problem is when people say you didn't have enough faith. This can hurt people. I've gone through experiences in this life and I thought things would work out different, and I believe with all my heart, full of faith, and the opposite has happened. And like Job, I bow the knee in sackcloth and ashes and say, even though you slay me, your will be done, and I will praise you. And I don't want to talk about denominations. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But I will say, God, I want to word this right, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I want people to see my heart here. I believe in a mystery of God. I believe we don't know everything. God tells us some things, and he chooses not to reveal other things. I'm a great fan of systematic theology. The danger of systematic theology is we want to put God in a box, decompartmentalize him, and we cannot do it. And it's great that we study it. I love it. I've got all the books. I really have. There is a mystery. And I do not believe that everything is marked out cold and calculated. I believe we have a relationship with the living God, our Father, Daddy. And when I went to my dad, evil though he was, he gave me good things. We have Hezekiah in the Old Testament. The prophet told him you were going to die. He petitioned God with tears and wailing, and God added 15 years to his life. With me? Are you with me? Cold. Not some idol, not some star away God. I don't know how your earthly father was. He might have been great, he might not have been. But he's not like your heavenly Father. As high above the heavens are the earth, so high is God. Beyond our tracing out. But he is good. Love him. He redeems our life. I knew I wouldn't get far with this. He redeems our life. Isn't that wonderful? In a world of entitlement, instant gratification, instant download, I want it now, I deserve it now, and I'll pay later. Do we really want what we deserve? Really want what you deserve? Death, eternal punishment, That's what we deserve. And that's what we're entitled to. God, in His mercy, God died so we could live. He was beaten. He was battered. So we could have abundant life and an eternal life. He, an innocent man, paid the price for our guilt. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Doesn't want to sink in. Still believe you're a good person? Have you ever met your black heart? To redeem means obtain and paying the price. God redeemed us. He bought us back with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard it many, many times. It's free, but it's not cheap. When we comprehend this love, even in our little finite minds, Spurgeon says, have you beheld Him? Have you comprehended Him? Have you experienced Him? Have you seen Him on the cross for your sin? Not for the world's sin, for my sin. Have you been to that place? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose forth and followed Thee. My chains fell off. Rose, went forth, and followed. Crowns us with love and compassion. We can wear a crown of love, acceptance, compassion, because He wore a crown of thorns embedded in His skull with the blood running down His face as they spat at Him, as they mocked Him. Crowns us with love and compassion. This loving kindness here, in the Hebrew word is hest. It's quite difficult to translate because there's no really English equivalent. So it's for loving kindness, steadfast mercy, love, loyalty. It's probably the nearest thing, an Old Testament word for agape. Unconditional. That's how much He loves you. Loyal love, unending, unfailing, unchanging. The love of Christ. And He satisfies our desires with good things. Satisfies our desires with good things. Gives our sins and He remembers them no more. He heals our diseases. He redeems us from eternal death by dying in our place. He crowns us with love and compassion. And He satisfies our desires with good things. What sort of God is this? This is a God who's worthy of praise. Who's worthy of worship. Of worthy of glory. Of worthy and honor. And worthy of all our praise. Because when we get our focus off ourselves and our small problems and look to Him, transported into a different realm. We transport perspective. I would encourage you to meditate upon this. And I do want to say this. I know time is going, but do not allow the devil to steal your blessing. I'll explain what I mean by this. You could say, how could the devil steal that? It's not possible. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses sort of 7, 8 to 20 odd, it talks about how God will bless us. How God will bless us and do mighty and amazing things through us if we will yield to Him. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ask or even imagine. He makes rivers in the desert, blossoms in the wasteland. And how does the devil try to steal it? By saying, look what I've done. Oof. Just get that foot pump. Look at me. Look what I've done. So blessed and so prosperous. Things that don't amount to anything in eternity. We get busy chasing our tails, looking the wrong way, our perspective out of sync. We think it's our birthright, through whether it's through nationality, whether it's through IQ, whether it's through hard work, diligence, whatever it is, it's through God. It's through God. I want you to keep those blessings, and I don't want Satan to steal them. Our desires with good things. Don't earn His love when we don't sin, and we don't lose His love when we do sin. Get not all His benefits. When we get a glimpse of His glory, when we beheld him, like Spurgeon says, when we comprehend Him on that cross for my sins, love bubbles up. God, the Holy Spirit, and we want to worship Him. We want to love Him. We want to serve Him. We'll never be sinless, but we will sin less, because love does. Quickly moving on because of the time. Forget not all His benefits. He forgives all our sins, heals all our diseases, redeems our lives, and He forgets our sins. He remembers them no more. And one thing I would like you to take away this morning, that sin, that regret, foolishness, that the devil torments you and sticks the knife in when you're down, forget it, because God has. Feel compelled to absolve you. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. He removes our sins and He establishes His righteousness. Hallelujah. And He promises, His righteousness to our children's children. Believe in it, friends. Keep praying for your children, even if they're not in the right place now. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. My mom did. What's the application? Very quickly. Well, stop complaining. Count your blessings. Remember all of His benefits. How do we stop complaining? Well, we start praising Him. That's how we change perspective. Do that not only today, but tomorrow also. God bless you. Amen.
Join.